It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And put simply, that means that, as the days get shorter, things change. And some of the things that are changing are, of course, the leaves, and pretty easy to spot them. Right now, there are a number of bushes that are rapidly becoming ready for fall, quite colorful. Probably the earliest one is the spreading dogbane, and it continues to develop and become more and more yellow. I'm seeing milkweed plants becoming quite a bit yellow. Yesterday while I was swimming, I stopped briefly and looked up this hillside, and the whole hillside was covered with round leaf dogwood. And the round leaf dogwood is just that. It's a big round leaf, probably 3 or 4 inches in diameter. And right now they are at this particular spot, the whole hillside was red, except for some little half-grown birch that was right in the middle of it all that was sort of bright yellow. But red is the color of the round-leaf dogwood, and if you get a chance, go have a close look at the round-leaf dogwood, and you will see that it has these little structures above the leaves that are bright red in color. And if you're lucky, some of those structures will have little pale blue berries on them, and it really completes the view. They are just lovely, lovely plants. As they develop, as they go further and further toward senescence and abscission, where the leaves fall off, the leaves will become quite purple in color. So keep an eye on the round-leaf dogwoods. They are definitely spectacular right now. Pagoda dogwood, I have one in my yard that is about 50% green, 50% red. I have one in the woods that is 100% green. And the two of them are quite a dichotomy, because on one side you have this one that's out in the open and growing right in the yard and pretty obvious. And the other one is sort of tucked away in the woods in the shade, and they have entirely different phenologies. My silver maple, if you have a silver maple, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. But the silver maple, you look at it and the whole tree looks green, and yet leaves are falling out of it and have been for a couple of weeks now, and they will continue to fall out of it, but just sort of one at a time. It's a bit like the way my dog sheds. I have a black lab, and she doesn't appear to be losing great handfuls of hair. In fact, if you spent any time petting her or scratching her, she would not give you a great handful of hair. But whenever I vacuum the house, I get a bag full of dog hair in the vacuum cleaner. So she sheds all the time, just not obviously. And the silver maple at this point in time is doing the same thing. It is shedding leaves, just not obviously. And in a couple of weeks, it will really kick up and begin to really throw some leaves. Usually it is late September 21st, 24th, somewhere in there when the tree begins to throw its last leaves. And so just have to keep an eye on it. And sometime before October, the tree will be, it will, at the end, turn all yellow and all the leaves will fall away. My crab apples are definitely getting ripe. The hazel brush is definitely showing its colors. Now, American hazel turns red and beaked hazel turns yellow. So if you have hazel in your yard, now is a good time to sort of see the difference. And if you're not satisfied with that, go up and look at them. And you will see that the American hazel, all of this year's new growth, will have fine reddish hairs on it, sort of cinnamon-colored hairs on the ends of the branches. And that's the American hazel. The beaked hazel does not have any hairs on its branches. The Juneberry in my yard is still quite green. There's one back in the woods that had been shaded, and until last week it had a few berries on it. I have a plant called black chokeberry, and I have a varietal in the yard that had big quantities of fruit on it, and the birds have come in and eaten all that fruit, and I have another one that is a native wild black chokeberry, and it is just getting ripe. The fruits are just getting ripe on that one, and the fruits on that one are about half the size of the varietal that's in my yard. And let's see, where was it? There was another note here. Oh, the nanny berry is just, the leaves are starting to turn color on the nanny berry, but the fruit is just beginning to take the earliest little blush. If you look carefully at the green berries on the nanny berry, you might see some that are just starting to show a little tiny bit of color, but that's at my house. Now, of course, it might be different at your house, so you'll just have to let me know. Finally, in this whole long color scheme thing, lilacs. Now, lilacs typically are green well into fall. And in fact, last year it was October before the lilacs began to really show any signs of leaf loss and of senescence, of the leaves turning brown. So the lilac leaves turn brown and then fall. This year, my lilacs are brown and the leaves are falling. I see lilacs on the way to town that are completely bare already. And I'm not sure if it was the dry fall, dry later summer, or what. But let me know what your lilacs are doing. I have also seen lilacs that are just as green as an apple. And I don't know what's going on with the lilacs, but there is some development there that I'd like to have a bit of a better handle on. So if you can pass any information along about lilacs, I'd love to hear from you. Common reed, which is Phragmites, grows around lake shores and in ditches. It's beginning to turn yellow or pale khaki, I guess. Smooth sumac is turning bright red, but, you know, it's not all the failure or the end of the season, because the burr marigolds are blooming profusely along the edge of the lake. Flat-topped, goblet, northern heart-leaved, and purple-stemmed asters are all blooming. And beyond that, let's see, cup plant is probably down to its last few flowers. The Jerusalem artichokes are at peak flower. Creeping bellflower is still blooming. Tall sunflower still has flowers on it. The spotted touch-me-nots at my house are about done. I found a couple of blooms left on the spotted touch-me-nots, but they seem to have kind of shut it down for the season. Among the insects that I've been following, morning cloak butterflies, lots of them. And yesterday I was out with the kids in Virginia, and I had been describing the insects and how important it is to sort of be present when you're outside. Be there, be outside, be in the moment. And we were outside, and one of the students pointed up at a morning cloak butterfly going by and said, "Look, there's a butterfly." And I was thrilled that the student had, you know, been aware enough to actually take that in. So morning cloak, those are the big black ones. They're the size of a monarch, but they're very, very dark. They're, I call them black because that's the impression you're going to have when you see them. They're actually a very, very deep brown with a cream-colored border around the edges. So morning cloak butterflies, the common sulfur butterfly is still buzzing about. That's that little yellow butterfly. It's maybe an inch to an inch and a half. Maybe with the wings open, it'd be 2 inches across. Oftentimes found on alfalfa, and alfalfa is still blooming, so the common sulfur butterflies are out on the fields for sure, and you'll see them out there. Blue darner and green darner dragonflies. I watched a blue darner patrolling a yard last night. I watched green darners fly by while I was out along the lake. The kids down in Northfield reported a lot of blue and green darner dragonflies down there. The green darner is migratory, so they might have been seeing flocks of migratory dragonflies. They were also seeing lots of monarch butterflies. Now, there should be one or two monarch butterflies still in the area. So if you have a monarch, make note of it. It'll be one of the last ones you'll see this season. Although, I do have records that go into October when it comes to monarchs. So, good luck. Meadowhawk dragonflies, the little red ones, they are around and abundant. The little red ones are the males. There's a gold-colored one that is the female. Their behavior is they're going to be flying over grasses along the edges of ponds and lake shores and whatnot, any water that's in the area, and they will lay their eggs on the grasses that are near the water but not in the water. And their hope is that that area will get inundated in the springtime with the melt-off, and that will put the eggs into water, and those little meadowhawks will come out. I have records of meadowhawks running into November, so they will be around as long as the weather stays pretty decent. There's still a few Carolina grasshoppers out there. There are lots of grasshoppers out there, but the Carolina is pretty easy to see. It's about an inch and a half to 2 inches long. It's sand brown colored. It hides really well in your driveway, if you have a gravel driveway, that is. When it flies, it also has a black wing with a border of sort of cream, a little greenish cream colored maybe. And that wing folds like an accordion so that it disappears under the hard outer wing of the Carolina grasshopper. But when it flies, you'll see that black and white, let's call it, wing fluttering as the thing flies. So keep an eye out for those. They'll be around for a little bit longer and then probably see the last of them. I was walking with the dog the other day doing a little phenology, and I saw her reach up and pull a blackberry off of a bush, and there were two of them there, so I quickly grabbed the other one, and we each had a blackberry, and I think that might be the last of the blackberries for the season. I haven't been seeing any raspberries for a week or two, so I think they're done as well. Speaking of fruits and berries, my mountain ash. A week ago yesterday, I went out and looked at my mountain ash, and they were covered in orange berries. I went and looked at them on Saturday, and they were absolutely cleaned out. They had all been eaten, and I suspect it's robins and probably white-throated sparrows. I've been seeing flocks of robins around. You may recall last week we talked a little bit about robins. They, this time of year, you're used to seeing them all the time, but now you're not seeing them, and you think, oh, they must have left the area. Well, what has happened is that they've gathered into flocks, and so if you're in an area where there's a flock of robins, you're going to see lots of them. Coming home last night from my swim, I saw probably a dozen of them on Blue Heron Drive, and that was, kind of reinforced what I suspected happened to the mountain ash berries. But they will be out and eating those. We might get some cedar waxwings in the area eating mountain ash berries as well. If you have a mountain ash in your yard, check it out. The berries are really foul, so don't eat them. But they do have enough sugar in them that they can ferment a little bit, and sometimes the birds will get a little drunk. I remember the first ever close-up look I got at a cedar waxwing was one that was pretty inebriated after eating the mountain ash berries in my yard as a child, and the bird sat on a branch and let me walk within 3 or 4 feet of it. And so I got a really good look at what cedar waxwings are. So check out your mountain ash. Maybe you'll get a chance to see that. Also seeing flocks of northern flickers, and those are the ones with the white patch on their rump. So when they fly, they're going to be on the ground because they're ant-eating woodpeckers. And they're going to fly, and when they do, you'll see this white patch on the top of their rump. So you'll know that you're looking at flickers. And by the way, if you get a chance, they are absolutely gorgeous. So one more note, and that is I saw a woolly bear caterpillar yesterday, and its orange band in the middle was rather short, And some people would interpret that to mean that we're going to have a short winter. But in fact, what it really means is that it was a young woolly bear caterpillar. The older they get, the broader that orange band gets. So the more instars they go through, and instar is where the caterpillar sheds its skin and emerges with a new skin that has a little bit more room so that they can grow a little larger. And the younger ones have a narrower orange band, and the older ones have a wider orange band. So it really has nothing to do with the winter that's coming, because those caterpillars have no way of knowing what sort of a winter we're going to have. But the shortness of that orange stripe is more related to how old they are. And thank you, Lisa and Bill. We got two notes about lilacs. Lisa from Balsam Township says she has a fungus on her lilacs, and she was shocked to look out last week and see a few blooms. And my son sent me a picture of a lilac that has been breaking new leaf buds in the cities. And Bill, who is in Afton, said, my lilacs in Afton are mostly brown and dropping leaves since early August. I have heard it is a disease spurred by the wet spring, but that some varieties are resistant. I hope they recover, but opinions on this one are mixed. Thank you both for your notes on lilacs. If you have additional information about lilacs that you'd like to share, I'd love to know more. It's perplexing to me to see them turning brown this early in the season, and I, like Bill, suspect that there's some kind of a disease, because in some places they are completely wiped out, and in other places they don't look like they're touched at all. So, well, that's our phenology show for this week. And I hope that you will contribute with some of your observations. So send stuff along if you've got it to pass along. We'd love to hear from you.
If you want more nature notes and news, you can sign up for that Season Watch newsletter written by our own phenology coordinator, Charlie Mitchell, and it's easy to sign up for it. Just go to kaxc.org or join Season Watch, our group, on Facebook.